I have been serving as a minister to children, to youth, to adults for more than 20 years. And you should all gasp collectively, but he's only 25 years old, you know, something like that. No, it doesn't work anymore. It used to, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people would gasp. But nobody gasps anymore. They're like, yeah, that's about right. Really? Only that long? You know, like that. But the majority of the time, though, I've been serving as a youth minister. Actually, through the whole time, I've been a minister to youth. It's just that I've been minister to all different age groups in there. But from the beginning in 89 to now, always have been working with youth. And several years ago, can't remember how long, 10, 12 years ago, I don't know, I was part of a group talking about this week's Bible reading from John 15. And, you know, the vine and the branches one. And that verse, I am the vine, you are the branches, very famous verse. And taken right as it is, you know, it's great. It's like, ooh, we're part of Jesus there. And I was pointing out during this Bible study time, ignoring the hard verses right yet, but saying like, branches do what they do. And I've even said this here. Branches bear fruit. And it's not because somebody told them to. It's just that's what they do. It's their nature. You know, you're connected to the vine, you're connected to the tree, you bear fruit. And there are times when branches are in a state of rest, right? There are seasons when branches aren't bearing fruit. You know, there's no buds on the branch, no blossoms or anything like that. But the reality is that a branch bears fruit, right? There's no question on that. And then in the group, we also talked about the part that says, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, so you cannot unless you abide in me. And that made sense, you know? A branch needs the source to bear fruit. And I said, so what's a branch when it's not part of the vine? And people said, it's a stick, right? I've probably said that in here before. You heard me say the stick stuff? Have I said sticks in here before? Yeah, I think I have. And then we talked even further, discussing how since we are branches in the vine of God's love, we aren't sticks. We even talked about, probably remembering like last week's sermon. Now this was in a youth group that we probably weren't talking about something from last week, but the reality of God's love for all people. Last week's sermon was about how we are all part of God's community. You know, everyone is enfolded in God's love. So I'm sure that we talked about that part there, that we are the vine, or Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and we are enfolded in that. But the part that I don't like to focus on, the difficult part of this passage, crept right into the discussion there about the part that says, you know, the branches that aren't bearing fruit, I take them off and they wither and they get burned in the fire and I prune this and I prune that. And there was then, and there continues to be, a tension with this vine and the branches and last week's theme of being enfolded in God's love and the whole meta-narrative, you know, the big picture of the Bible of God creates and we mess up and God redeems and God always bringing us back into the fold. There's a tension with that and this breaking off the branches and burning them in the fire. And so I don't always address the tension. I don't like to. I like to just leave it there and say, there's a tension. And in youth group that night, we left that tension there and said, we can't explain that part, but what do you think? And the kids said, don't be a stick. That was it. And it was great. We made a t-shirt that said, don't be a stick. You know, it was really fun. And so it's good advice. Don't be a stick. Which was kind of like, don't be a stick in the mud, but don't be a stick. And then we had John 15:5 in there. So it was kind of cool. And people would ask questions about it and everything. But this week, I've revisited the phrase because don't be a stick just isn't enough for a sermon. You know, it's too unsettled. It's fun, and you could live your life, don't be a stick, but I think that there's something deeper we got to work at. Because if it's in the Bible, even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if I don't like it, I can't just say, well, that's not in the Bible. You know, you can't just look at it and say, well, that's not there. You got to deal with it because it's the Bible. And We take the Bible as a whole, even though there are places where we disagree with stuff and things that we don't follow the same way, cultural things and stuff like that, it's still in there. So we have to work with it and understand why it's there and what it means for us today. So, revisiting that phrase. First thing, I got some thoughts. Like the part about bearing fruit. What do you think bearing fruit is for a Christian? Go ahead, you can shout it out. Live a useful life. I like that. What else? Having children. Ooh, be fruitful and multiply. Also, it's a Mother's Day thing that you got going there, right? Ooh, very clever. Anything else? Showing love. Ooh, I like that too. A lot of, pardon? Doing for others. A lot of times, in my evangelical background, bearing fruit was converting more people to the cause. You know, and it's not a bad thing to share your story. As a matter of fact, it's what we're called to do. But I'm not the kind of person who chalks up, you know, so-and-so made a decision, and so-and-so made a decision, and so-and-so. And look, there's, you know, 82 souls this week that have been saved by me, because I don't save any souls. I tell my story, God does all the stuff. You know, it's all about what God's doing and not about what I'm doing. But in the New Testament here, when Jesus says bearing fruit, the Hebrew people would understand it a certain way. The Jewish people, the Greek people would understand bearing fruit in a certain way. And it was to be faithful to God's love for all people. You know, be faithful to God's covenant with people and to follow those two rules of loving God and loving each other. That was bearing fruit because God gets to do the rest. There wasn't a hash mark that says you did this or you did that or anything like that. Bearing fruit is being faithful to what God has called you to do and to live your life as God calls you to do it. It doesn't mean that if you don't do that, that God doesn't love you, or that, you know, the whole thing about salvation, the whole thing about God's love, you can't earn it, but it's the vine and the branches thing. You just do it. It's part of your nature. We are faithful to God's covenant. We are faithful to live the two rules, loving God and loving each other. So there's one part, bearing fruit. You've got to keep that in mind as you're thinking about it. And then another part, can a withered, burned up branch be restored? Because if it says here, and it does say that, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers, such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And to the folks that first heard that, they would get withered, burned up, everything like that. But they also had the scriptures. They had the stories of what God had told to the people long before them that were written down, that they read in the synagogues. And here's one of them from Ezekiel. It wasn't really a super old story, because this one would be, you know, coming out closer to New Testament times, because it's a later book. But Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 6, listen to this. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of dry bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus said the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live.'" So can God take a withered and burned stick and restore it? Yes, absolutely. Can God take a stick and graft it back into the vine? Yup. So just because it's a stick and it's burned doesn't mean that it's over. That means that God gets to do more. And God shows that God, now this is a vision, but it's God showing that I can breathe life into something that is lifeless. So is the truth of God's ability, God's desire to restore anything new? No. God's desire is that we would be restored, that we would be refreshed, that we would be renewed, and God gets what God wants. God gets to do what God does, and if God wants that, that's what God gets to do. So on the whole, maybe it's not the silly statement or the fun statement, don't be a stick, but you're not a stick. But that wouldn't work as well on a t-shirt. You're not a stick. People would be like, I know. I'm a human being, you know, so, but you're not a stick. And now there's another way to look at things here. You've seen how, like, this is an image of a vine, of a grapevine. You ever looked at vines? We've even got some wineries in Illinois, right? Have you ever seen how vines grow? They're just all intertwined. all through growing in and out of one another. And you can't just really find one branch and say, oh, there's a branch, let's take it off, like on a tree where it's much easier to take a branch off. Vines are just intertwined with one another. The branches are connected to the whole vine, and they're connected to one another by through the vine, the branches, and through this just intertwining like that. And each branch is made up of several smaller parts. And I wonder if we could look at this and say that each of us, individually, we have parts that are in the vine, and we have parts that are sticks. I'm going to go into that part. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make more fruit, to make it bear more fruit. See, we're inextricably linked to this vine. We're inextricably linked to these branches, this whole thing, this God's community. So it's the people in God's community, it's God's community, and we're all connected in that. We're nurtured by the vine. But there are things that we need to have pruned in order that we can flourish more, or just in order that we can flourish, right? We all have stuff that's in our lives that isn't particularly helpful and probably harmful to our living a flourishing spiritual life, about living our lives the way God wants us to do it. And this is not the day to call it out and say, you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, I heard that. No, it's not like that. God loves us, and God accepts us exactly as we are. But it doesn't mean that there aren't things that we ought to kind of have pruned from ourselves, right? Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So while I'm not going to wrap this up into a neat little thing there, let me just run through like 12 points. You can write them down if you want. You can grab a copy of this later. I'm just going to leave you with thoughts, stuff to think about all week long. Not conviction, just stuff to think about. So Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We bear fruit in being faithful to God's call to love God and to love each other. Branches that are withered and that don't bear fruit are... Did you say cut out? Oh, I said sticks, but yeah. Don't be a stick. You're not a stick. God restores sticks into branches. God loves us and accepts us exactly as we are. But we have things in our lives that keep us from flourishing. And branches that are pruned of things that aren't helpful to bearing fruit bear more fruit. I didn't say that the pruning process is painful, because I don't know. You know, does it hurt for a vine to have it like that? Or, you know, this is the beginning of gardening season. When you see a flower, let's say a petunia with a nice big flower on it, does it hurt to break off that stem? Because then when you do that, two grow out of that, and then you break those off, then you got four, and you've got this huge flower with all kinds of flowers on it. So it hurts for you to do it. But I don't know, does it hurt the flower? I don't know. I don't think flowers feel or anything like that. So maybe pruning is difficult. Maybe pruning is hard. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's an easy thing. And what do you need to prune? I don't know, you know. God gets to decide that. God will convict us of what needs to be pruned. So there's the first parts of it. And then the second part of the points, we're connected, just like the vine and the branches are connected. We're connected to God, and we're connected to each other. And God's desire is that we would grow and bear fruit. God restores us. God prunes us. But most of all, if I were going to say something to finalize that God something us, what would it be? Very good. Very good. I'm glad you didn't say cut off. You know, it's a... God loves us. And all these little seeds of thought from a Bible reading about the vine and the branches. Just leave it there and pray. Thank you, God, for passages of Scripture that move us, that are sometimes difficult for us, that teach us, that guide us. Help us to live our lives being faithful to your call, to love you and to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.